Ewan, good morning.
Good morning, Sean. Nice to be with you.
Yeah, pleasure to have you on the program, Ewan. Now, some very aggressive rhetoric coming out of this Global Times spray, such as China must take revenge and let Australia know it's wrong. But is it time to batten down the hatches and take cover just yet?
In a physical sense, I don't think so. But it doesn't mean that it's not serious. I mean, the Global Times is linked to the People's Daily. That's the official mouthpiece of the Chinese Communist Party. So anything that comes from there has an implicit seal of approval. And although deeds count stronger than words, words have to be taken into account, and these are very strong.
Well, obviously, some newspapers and journalists here in Australia, I don't think it's much of a secret, they have something of a political bent. But the Global Times, as you say there, it is a state-run newspaper, which means the ruling party, they have a lot of control over the editorial content. Why would China's government choose to issue such a severe warning through this newspaper?
My gut feeling is that they feel that Australia has basically hedged on the sidelines of the freedom of navigation issue too long in the South China Sea, that they sniff a bit of weakness in the government's position and an opportunity to drive a wedge between Australia and its ally, the United States. And the obvious way to do that is to first sort of pour scorn on Australia, but more to the point, just to exert pressure by using these very belligerent, you know, almost comically belligerent language.
Look, even if we don't need to worry about a physical attack just yet, even if that's not, well, we don't see the invasion fleet sort of coming over the horizon, what about economically? China is a important economic partner for Australia. Is there a possibility this warning could come ahead of bleeding us a little bit in the financial department?
Yes, I think on the coercive scale, that's certainly far more likely than anything physically to, you know, to threaten Australian Defence Forces as they pass through the South China Sea, although that risk will have to be taken more seriously into account by the Department of Defence after this, I think. But it would be more likely along the scale of what we've seen with Japan and the Philippines in the past. And the important thing to remember here is that although China does take these measures, maybe unofficially through not granting visas quickly or imposing non-tariff barriers on certain categories of import into China, its leverage is limited too, because it has to buy its commodities from somewhere, and it tends to be that threat of the economic leverage is often exaggerated. And I think that's why it's important that Australia has to hold fast, not feel too threatened by this, because I return to my gut feeling on this, that it's when China senses weakness, that's when you're in the difficult spot. As long as you hold firmly to your position, not provocatively, but maintain firmness, then I think the negotiation is much more straightforward. And that's the problem where we're at.
You mentioned the possibility they're trying to drive something of a wedge between Australia and the United States. United States, obviously a very important military ally for us here in Australia, and China, a very important economic partner. So we are kind of torn between these two worlds, as it were. Is this something of a Cold War situation where China cannot take a direct swing at the United States, and Australia's caught somewhat in the middle, like the old Cold War banana republics that were caught between the US and Russia?
Well, I think there's an element of truth to that. Certainly in Southeast Asia, countries there do very much feel caught between the United States and China, but they're much closer. Geography still gives Australia some enduring advantages. But the economics has really shrunk our strategic horizons. That's where I think the vulnerability is felt. But that, I think I could turn that around. You mentioned earlier, we're not likely to see invasion fleet off the horizon in Darwin. And I don't think that's ever going to change. But that doesn't mean that what China does in the South China Sea won't have an effect in diminishing Australia's security and its prosperity. That's the point, is Australia is linked to a global trading system, linked to a regional security environment, and like it or not, we can't just afford, I think, to stop at our horizons and borders. It does involve a more proactive position on the government's part, And that's why I think the statement in support of the PCA ruling was actually fairly good. The problem is, we haven't physically followed through, and I think that's where China sees some opportunity to not directly threaten, but just to make us feel uncomfortable and force that choice wherever possible.
Mm. So pushing forward, you mentioned the idea of pushing forward with pretty much the same sort of path that we've already been following, pushing forward with our criticism of China's actions in the South China Sea. Just as a final point, how would you probably advise the Australian government at the moment that are kind of dealing with these sort of concerns, with this sort of feeling of uncomfortableness? How would you actually advise them to continue at this point in time?
Well, one thing to point out is that the actual situation in the South China Sea is relatively calm at the moment. This is China's tactics are much more on the diplomatic front. The editorial that we saw was, a rhetorical spray, but the physical situation is at the moment, I think, in a kind of state of calm. China has to host a major summit coming up, the G20, next month, and I don't think they're going to do anything to block their paper in advance of that. In a sense, that gives some space for the Australian government to develop its position, and I think the editorial itself is not something that Canberra should officially respond to. That would be to dignify it and risk locking in China in a more hardline position that they haven't officially taken. But nonetheless, I think what is important is to try and diminish that sense that the allies can be picked off and put under pressure one by one, where Australia, I think, does have some genuine creativity and flexibility to join the dots between the allies and partners so that there isn't that sense of a gap through which a wedge can be driven.
Mm. Ewan, thank you very much. Do appreciate your time on this one this morning. Obviously, we don't want to see the situation devolving into a big mass of rhetoric, so do appreciate your sort of insight.
Always good talking to you, Sean. Thanks.